All right, so after 4 minutes, everybody should stop and write down how far they got. For lower elementary students, I'm working with Patrick, my own son right here, who turns 8 today. Everybody can say, happy birthday, Patrick! So,
birthday.
Thank you. And so he turned 8 today, and he is working pretty hard to do 4 facts. Facts practice 1C for lower elementary. Okay? And he is writing, he's copying down the facts practice. He is not writing it out from scratch. And it's still pretty hard for him. So, Patrick, you wrote DOI. Founding Fathers signed DOI, and remember what I said about using abbreviations. You're allowed to if you know what it means instantly. What does it mean instantly, Patrick?
Declaration of Independence.
Okay, and Patrick also used another abbreviation. He wrote Muslim Terrorists Destroy WTC. So you better know what that is, Patrick.
World Trade Center.
Okay, there you go. So if you know what the abbreviation stands for, you're allowed to use it. Good. So I'm going to let Patrick write, for instance, Christopher Columbus discovers AM period from now on. That way he can get even faster scores on his facts practice. Because I know he knows how to spell America, and I know that he knows what it is. So I'm going to let him abbreviate. And each and every one of you can do that. However, if you are running into any challenge with regard to a fact, and everybody has their own little peculiar challenges, right? So you know yourself where you stand. But an example for a younger student might be, Patrick has difficulty spelling Christopher as a name. It is a little bit of a strange name. And so there's the PH versus an F, and there is just different parts of the spelling. So he's still struggling with that spelling, so I make him write that one out every single time. But maybe if you're a superstar at writing Christopher Columbus, you could probably just write Columbus, right? So again, abbreviations can be used whenever they are fully appropriate to you as a student who's a master of the content. Then you can do that. You can make that choice. And the facts practice is not there to be tedious, busy work where you write out stuff over and over again. The facts practice is there to make you become this person who has automatic memories about important historical facts. And I see that this is a really good and interesting thing, because when Patrick Henry remembers 1492 every single time, we have interesting discussions and we do all kinds of interesting stuff. But if he didn't, and if he didn't know that, and he wasn't able to say that and know it instantly, then we wouldn't be able to have those discussions in our house. So that's the point, is that you can have certain thoughts because you've earned them. You'll have earned the factual memories that will come back each and every time instantly, and you can do better, you can do more. Okay, so now today we are going to focus very much and very exclusively on this idea of the discovery of America in 1492. And so we are going to, or I'm going to remind you a little bit about what we learned last time and focus on the most important parts. And then we're going to talk about what this expression means, the discovery of America. Because different people have proposed different interpretations of that expression. And Patrick's encountered them in different books, and I'm sure you have too. And so you must have some questions or some doubts perhaps or some concerns about using that expression in the proper way if you've encountered different versions of it. So that's what we're going to look at today. And so to start off with, let's see here. I'm going to put this away. Oh, that's not for us. And that's not for us either. Okay, sorry about that. I'm going to take this one here from our last class. Good old Toscanelli, the map that, oh, I can't do that either. Okay. Toscanelli and the map that Christopher Columbus used to plan his voyage, right? We learned about Christopher Columbus had this scientific idea based on all of the knowledge that the ancient Greeks had imparted to people and that had been collected by the people of Europe as well. He had this idea that you would leave Spain, go down to the Canary Islands, and then you would head west, and you might go to this mythical island, Antilia, doesn't exist, but then you would go over, and you would eventually, at some practical interval, you would get to Sipengu, which we today call Japan, and then you would really hit the jackpot because you would get to the biggest, most important kingdom in the world at the time, Cathay, or China in our modern vocabulary. And this was a kingdom the size of all of Europe, where the rulers had an enormous amount of wealth compared to most European rulers. And therefore, if you could become the middleman between China and Europe, you yourself would become rich. Right? So Columbus was operating on this idea, a lot of people weren't sure that this was possible. A lot of people were absolutely certain that it was impossible. And there were a lot of arguments, and there were people who thought the earth was flat. There were people who thought the earth was round, but that it was too big, all kinds of stuff. And so the importance of Columbus in our story is that the only way to know was to go. That's my favorite new phrase about the age of discovery, is the only way to know was to go. And that rhymes. And so that's cute and catchy. Hopefully you'll enjoy that one. And so Christopher Columbus was not living in a time of freedom, so he had to ask permission from the latest version of Menes Narmer at the time, right? In countries where you don't have freedom, you have somebody. His name's not Menes Narmer, but that's who he is. That's what he's doing, right? So he had to go to the Menes Narmer of Portugal. I don't even remember his name at this point. He said, no, no thanks. I got another guy. His name is Bartolomeo Diaz. He found the bottom of Africa, so I don't need you, Christopher Columbus. And then so Christopher Columbus went to Isabella of Castile, and she was the Menes Narmer of Castile. And she said, well, I'm busy with the Reconquista. Come back later. And then in 1492, that was done. And finally, she said, okay, I give you permission. You're not free, Christopher Columbus, but I give you permission because I'm the ruler. I'm the Menes Narmer of my day. So I give you permission to go. And he went. And, of course, we know he made this voyage into the unknown. And, well, the light blue is reality. And if you're going to follow this path, well, you're going to run into this before you run into this. And that's indeed what happened. So he made his voyage into the unknown, and he discovered America. He found these Caribbean islands here on this first voyage of his, and set off this tidal wave of explorations that revealed the entire New World to Europeans, and thus to the rest of the world as well. And so the outcome of this voyage that Christopher Columbus took is that the life of every person on planet Earth is different today. The entire world that we live in was transformed by this voyage of discovery. The outcome we know is a very special world. It includes the connection of all of the parts of the world. What do we call that? The interconnection of all people living today. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I did say interconnection, but what's that word for the interconnection of people living in every single part of the world? Abby? Globalization. Right, we live in a globalized world, and we live in a world where the people who came to this place from Europe made a country called the United States of America, and that became the most important country in the world. So we live in a world of globalization and of American preeminence, and all of that comes back to and starts with the discovery of America by Christopher Columbus. So that's why I use the phrase, and I encourage you to use the phrase, Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492. But what we're here to talk about today is that if you look around today and you go to the library and you get books and maybe you go to a government school and you take a class there, then, you know, you will find that some people will say that's not true. And some people might even think that you're kind of silly for saying that. They might think that they know so much better than you because they've heard of other people. And in particular, they have heard that there was somebody called Leif Erikson. And just by a show of hands, I'd like to know who has heard of Leif Erikson before. Give me a quick show of hands here if you've heard the name Leif Erikson before. Or maybe not the particular name, but maybe the idea that the Vikings, in general, as a group, may have come to the Americas before Columbus. So I see 3 or 4 or 5 hands maximum that has that sort of memory. Or I'm surprised there aren't more, actually. I'm surprised there aren't more. Okay, but okay, that's fine. So anyway, even if you haven't, it's good for you to hear it from me too, that there is this idea that before Christopher Columbus, there were people who came to the Americas. And as far as we know, that is true. As far as we know, that actually is true. If I can quickly come up and bring my my Wikipedia browser up on here. Oh, I accidentally got rid of it, but let me bring it back really quickly. And you can kind of find out about a place called Vinland. You see, and here's a little bit of a painting that's kind of interesting. And this painting is called Leif Erikson. Opdaga America! No. Okay, Leif Erikson discovers America by who? This guy over here. And so here's this character who's obviously a mariner, kind of like Christopher Columbus, and he's on the ocean with the men on his ship, and he's pointing over to some land, and it is said here that, well, Vinland is the name given to an area of North America by Norse Vikings discovered by Leif Erikson. All right, so some people then say, well, and this happened in the year 1000. So that's 492 years before Columbus. Anna, did you have a question or comment?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, accidentally left your hand up. Okay, put it down. Okay, so so this happened 492 years before Columbus. This man named Leif Erikson did find this place that he called Vinland. And in 1960, before any of us here was born, in 1960, people called archaeologists, here's this word, archaeological. Archaeology is not the same thing as history. Archaeologists mainly go and they dig up stuff under the ground. And they find stuff in the ground. They don't read books. They find pottery. They find carved stone. They find metal implements and stuff like that. And they find evidence of fires and things under the ground. And that helps them to know about things that happened before history. Right? Where in history we use the written word to understand the past. Archaeologists use other kinds of scientific evidence to learn about stuff even before people were writing, or stuff that you can't know because there's no writing about it. So archaeologists found a place in North America, and it's called Lance aux Meadows. I don't even know really how to pronounce that. And now there's a site. It's in northeastern Canada. If you look on this map here, it's way up here in this corner of North America, which later on came to be known as Newfoundland. And here's Greenland over here, here's Iceland, and here's Europe, right? So we're going to look at this from a number of different angles here. And so there, it has been suggested, therefore, that because Leif Erikson went to this place, Newfoundland, and called it Vinland, that it makes more sense to say that he discovered America in the year 1000. So what about that? And also, another thing that that you might hear from folks is that it doesn't even really make sense to say that anybody discovered America. Because there were already people here. So I don't know if you've heard that point of view expressed. But they would say, well, when Leif Erikson came here, there were already native peoples. He called them the Skraelings. And when Christopher Columbus came here, he found some other people, and he called them Indians. They were already here. So maybe it makes, maybe nobody discovered America. So isn't that interesting? It turns into a question that's a lot like a history through art question. There's a lot like the question of, is there one main character in the painting? More than one main character? Or no main character? Which is it? Did Christopher Columbus discover America? Did Leif Erikson discover America? Or did nobody discover America? Right? Which is it? So, Patrick, you have a question or a comment?
Well, I forgot.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So who did it? Who discovered it, right? Well, definitely the thing is here, people disagree. Otherwise, I wouldn't have to mention it. And so when I present my point of view here on this, I definitely need to say that that's what it is and that not everybody agrees with me. And someday, if you do enough research and think about it carefully for yourself, you'll have the right to have your own answer. And you'll be able to say what you know about it, and you'll be able to say what other people think about it, but why you think that they're wrong, and so on, right? And you'll be able to have a good discussion about it. So my answer to the question, who discovered America, goes like this. It's based on, I'm going to show you guys a map that I created to kind of help you understand my point of view on this here. So, first, let me see here. I don't want this distraction, so I'm going to get rid of these things here and put them here so they're out of the way. All right. So, let me get my map out. Okay. And let's take a look at this panel, these two panels here, kind of side by side. Two interesting things. So over here in the top left, we have a map of the known world before Leif Erikson, at least to the Europeans, because nobody who lived in the Americas knew anything about where they were or anything else, so we can't put them at all. And the Europeans and the Asians, the best they could do put together would be to make some kind of map like this. So this is the known world. Around the year, just before the year 1000, at the best possible statement of knowledge, the greatest geography genius would not have known this much. We know that, actually, right? Because of our Frau Moro map, and our Alidrisi map, and our Ptolemy maps. This is way more accurate. But we're going to use modern maps to show what people knew about the world. And then in the year 1000, Leif Erikson reveals to his small group of Vikings who were coming over here, this extra stuff over here. So somebody else had found this, and there was this. And so this is what we're talking about here when we're talking about what Leif Erikson discovered was this is Newfoundland here, and this is a corner of North America, and he realized that there was more to it, and they may even have looked around a little bit, and, you know, we don't know exactly how much, but something like this, okay? And then, well, we come back to the known world before Christopher Columbus. Now, it's kind of interesting to see that there's nothing over here, and we'll come back to that in a second. Right? And then, in 1492, Christopher Columbus sails from Spain, goes down here to the Canaries, comes over here, and he finds this. And then, over the next three voyages, because he did four voyages in all, he found all the rest of this stuff. And meanwhile, actually, a lot of other stuff was being found at the same time. But I'm going to just put on my map here what Christopher Columbus personally found. Now, one thing that's a little bit strange about this is that neither of them really found America, right? In a sense, if we are thinking of America as being the continent that we think of, neither of them really found that, right? And is it even really possible for one person to find a continent, then the real and like the whole thing, and to be said, well, he knows the whole continent? Is that what we mean by discovering a continent? Not really. Because that's unrealistic and that's not really fair. So we're not saying, I wouldn't say that Leif Erikson didn't discover America just because he didn't discover all of it. And I'm not going to say that Christopher Columbus didn't discover America just because he didn't discover all of it. Israel, you have to find a part of it first. Yeah, exactly. You can only find so much. Human beings are as big as they are. Their boats are as fast as they are. They can only travel so far. And so, yeah, when we're going to say what an explorer did, we have to not expect him to do more than is possible, right? So, all right, so these two things are not that different altogether. So, when it comes down to what did each of them find, it's pretty similar, actually. It's a corner, right? It's a part of, it's a piece of this continent that combined, you know, altogether we call the Americas. So, what about it, right? There's not much to tell the difference. If that's what the question is, who discovered America? If that's how we answer the question, who discovered America, then okay. You know, we'd have to say they're pretty close to being the same thing. But that's not how I think we should answer the question. Remember that when we talk about historical facts, when we study the past, we know that it's full of stuff. It's full of more facts than we can ever know. It's full of more stuff than we should ever bother to try to know. It's a plethora. Right? Some of you guys know that word. Plethora is way too much stuff. And when we look back at that plethora from the present, we need to take care in how we do it, not to waste our time with stuff that just does not matter. So when we look back to the past, what we are interested in is things that are not just true, but what? What's Mr. Powell's favorite phrase that I've used for many years? Does anybody remember it here in this particular group? What's the most important word in history? Just gave it away for anybody that remembers. Important is the most important word in history. All right, Nemo was going to get it. Okay, in other words, the most important question is not who, what, when, where, why. The most important question is, so what? We are living here. We have a reason to know history, and that is we want to understand the world that we live in. We're not interested in every little thing that happened in the past. If everything that happened in the past is just as important, then we would just find somebody and we would just keep on looking at their story. He got out of bed at 8:17. He put on his shoes at 8:17:35. And he walked outside at 8:18 and so on. And all that would be just as good, right? Whoever this person is, we just keep on collecting facts. And the winner in history would be the guy who has the most facts at the end, right? But that's not the way that it is. History's not just about what happened. History's about so what? So, if you want to tell me, the Native Americans discovered America, well, I would say, really? They didn't even know where they were. They were walking around like regular people all over the world, kind of just not even knowing where they were. They were in a place, but they didn't even really know where it was. And so nothing really happened because of that. They were just walking around and, okay, they could have been walking, they could still be walking around and not know it today. So there's really no, it doesn't really make sense to talk about them discovering it. They might have been there, but they didn't even really know where that was. There's really no so what to that related to where we are now. And if we talk about Leif Erikson and the so what of Leif Erikson, well, you could say, okay, so tell me now, what happened since Leif Erikson discovered America. He discovered a continent, right? What happened? There must have been something that happened. Isn't it? Wouldn't something happen if a whole continent was found by people? Tell me what happened. Well, what happened was some Vikings told each other some stories. Okay, but what else? What else really happened? Come on, don't keep me in suspense here. What's the good part about this? They told each other some stories. So what happened? Well, actually, nothing. Nothing. What's the so what of Leif Erikson discovered Vinland? Because that's the way that I say it. What's the so what in history? How did that change the life of people on planet Earth? How did that change history? It didn't. It didn't. Nothing happened. Nothing. Wait a minute. So you're going to say somebody discovered a continent, but nothing happened? History did not change? I'm sorry. I don't think you're using the word discovery quite right. You know, have you guys seen that movie, The Princess Bride? One of my favorite movies. If you haven't seen the movie, The Princess Bride, you have to see the movie, The Princess Bride. Because there's a character in the movie, his name is Vizzini, and he keeps using the word inconceivable. And the other character looks at him, and he keeps using it wrongly. And the other character looks at him, and he says, "You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." And so, Leif Erikson discovered America? Really? What did that add to the world's knowledge of geography? What did the world learn thanks to him? How did history change? So what? Abby?
Nothing. Nothing really happened?
Nothing. Nothing. It's a zero. This is the world after Leif Erikson, and guess what? It's the same thing as the world before Christopher Columbus. Nothing happened. So then by comparison, if you say, what about Columbus? Did he discover something, if we're going to use that word properly? He finds this personally. So what? Boom. So what? Are you kidding me? Globalization and the rise of the America-centric world we live in. That's the so what. The life of every single person on the planet is radically different because of one man. And what he inspired the people of Europe to do. So maybe we need a word for that. Maybe we need a phrase for that. To capture what that means to every single person on the planet for all of human history from now on, I think there is a good phrase for that. Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492. I think there's a good phrase, and that's the one. I don't think we need another one. That's it. So, there you go. That's Mr. Powell's answer to the question, who discovered America? Like I said, not everybody agrees with me. And that's fine. You can pay attention to how different people present their point of view. Mostly what people are thinking of is things that have nothing to do with the world that we live in. Curiosities, kind of interesting little tidbits about the past that have nothing to do with the world that we live in. And I don't think history should bother with that. There's too much of that. The history is a plethora of stuff that doesn't matter. So why would we take something that does not matter, something that had no results, something that did not change history at all, And it's something that has nothing to do with the world that we live in. Zero. We do not live in the United States of Vinland. So why would we take that and say, that person discovered America? Doesn't make sense to me. So when we write on the fact practice, in 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered America. That's why. Because it's not just a matter of who, what, when, where, why. It's a matter of so what. It's a matter of saying, here we are. We live in this world with America in it. The United States of America could not be possible without the discovery of America. There we go. All right, there's my version of it. What do you guys think? Any questions? Any thoughts? It all hinges on the so what question, doesn't it? It's all about so what. We don't study historical facts if they don't matter. And it would be strange to elevate a certain event in history that has no consequences, that has no import whatsoever, and say that's more important than something else. All right. I'll let you ponder that, and we can continue talking about that. Tomorrow we'll talk about, you know, more of this part of the so what question, right? Because Columbus and other explorers, they're starting to find more and more of this, and interesting things are going to happen. The Spanish are going to come, the Portuguese are going to come, pretty soon the English and the French are coming, and all kinds of exciting changes are going to happen. I mean, this is history. History's coming. So let's get on with it, right? All right. So good. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. And I look forward to continuing tomorrow. Bye for now, folks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.